Well, the American Psychiatric Association recently announced that it's dropping Asperger's syndrome from the latest edition of its flagship diagnosis manual. They will now incorporate these people who often have high intelligence and deep knowledge on narrow subjects, but very few social skills, into a broader autism spectrum. We may have to wait until May when the manual comes out to see what this means, but meanwhile, parents are worried that one effect could be less treatment for their children. Those parents include former White House correspondent Ron Fournier, although for a long time, he didn't even know his child qualified. Ron Fournier covered complicated precedents and policies for the Associated Press, but he just didn't understand his own son, Tyler. And he says two former presidents, Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, helped him learn how to. His essay in National Journal is How Two Presidents Helped Me Deal with Love, Guilt, and Fatherhood. It's getting a lot of response in Twitterland, so we want to spend a few minutes with Ron today. Ron Fournier joins us from the National Journal Group in Washington, where he's editorial director. Ron, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So before you had a diagnosis, you know, describe your child.
Tyler is an insanely bright, wickedly curious, really charming young boy, who loves the things that he loves. When he was younger, it was Legos and anything about animals. And more recently, it's been bookstores and video games, and just a wonderful guy. You know, but we started noticing, you know, when he was a young boy, that there were some things that he wasn't. One of them was a friend. He didn't have a lot of friends and didn't want to make friends, and he was, you know, a little bit different, a little bit quirky, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but, you know, he was one of the kids in middle school who kind of stood out for being different.
Yeah. Well, and you're describing him in a wonderful way now and in a wonderful way we pick up in your writing, but you're very honest in this article about how back then you weren't as likely to see his charms as you were the things that were missing. I mean, you're quite honest that it was very difficult for you. You had this idealized image of fatherhood. It was that scene out of Field of Dreams where, you know, Kevin Costner plays catch with his ghostly mm-hmm. father. You played catch with your dad. You thought that's how it would be, but it wasn't like that with Tyler.
Right. I mean, that movie still makes me choke up.
Right.
There was never a time where I was disappointed in Tyler personally. I mean, he always has just amazed me, and you know, I've always adored him. My concern was when I would have him out in public. I would bring him to a White House event, as I described, or we would go to a club or a game or anything around town with neighbors, and I would find myself cringing. I would find myself really uptight because I knew that he wasn't really connecting, and I knew that people were judging him, or at least I thought they were. It was that guilt that I dealt with, realizing that, one, there was an idealized version of a son that I had in my head, and I needed to get over that. And two, that I had to, you know, stop feeling guilty yeah. or worried about how he's coming across and just relax and let him be him, because that, you know what? That's what most people do.
Well, that took a while, and it took a couple presidents, which not everybody yeah. gets to have, but, you know, you're a White House reporter. And in 2003, your family visits the George W. Bush Oval Office. This is your last day covering the White House for the AP.
Right.
And this is, again, before you and your wife, Lori, have the diagnosis.
Right.
You are still in that state of anxiety about what your child might do, not knowing that
exactly.
he has this condition. And he welcomes you into the office with, you know, come on in, Fournier, who are you dragging in? Sounds so George W. Bushy.
And, it was.
Yeah, and tell us what your five-year-old did then.
Well, he comes in, and the first thing he does is ask, where is Barney, Bush's dog? And then starts talking to the president in his real rat-a-tat machine gun, deep voice, I now realize Asperger's indicative style, talking real fast about Franklin Roosevelt's dog, Fala, and all the things he knew about it. And it was just like, I now realize, a typical Aspie, that he was really deep and intense on a topic, and in a way that to most adults and most people would kind of be off-putting. Now, Bush, being the politician he is, being the a guy who really knows how to read a room, I think, better than most people realized, he was unaffected. He was charmed. And as I'm worried about how Tiger's coming across in the Oval Office, Bush grabs me by the elbow, and I'll never forget. He grabs me by the elbow, and he looked me right in the eyes. And I called in the piece a presidential directive, because it was. I mean, he was as if he was, you know, ordering ships into battle. He said to me, "Love that boy." And at the time, I thought he was saying, "Love that boy," despite my anxieties. And it was over the course of writing this story that I realized, you know, I think what he was telling me, or at least what I'm going to take away that he was telling me, was love that boy because he's different. That I can't imagine my boy not having Asperger's. He would not be the great, wonderful, incredible child that he is without the syndrome.
But this took a while. And it took, first of all, a TV show to let you and your wife, who you say is the real hero in this story, she's the one who really saw this, the TV show Parenthood, which has a character who has, again, what's been called Asperger's, for you to identify, you know, that's got to be our son.
Yeah, there's this character named Max Braverman. He's a young autistic boy who's further along the spectrum than Tyler is. But Laurie saw Tyler in him, and she says, you have to watch this show. You got to sit down tonight and watch it on the computer. And I did, and I spent most of the night, into the night, crying, literally tears streaming down my eyes, realizing that, one, my boy might have autism. That was scary, but on the other hand, it was kind of a relief. Okay, now maybe we know what to call us, and maybe we have something that we can help him with.
Well, and you discover that people call children with this syndrome little professors. It was identified, right. The syndrome was identified in the 1940s. And you and your wife go to a psychiatrist who gives you the diagnosis. There's a good reporter. You took notes.
Yeah. So at one point she says, this is the kind of young man that you don't ever want to yell to. And I wrote in parentheses, we yell at him. She talked about how one of the indicatives of Aspie is problems with motor functions of their hands, and, you know, they're poorly coordinated. And I wrote in parentheses, well, no wonder he can't play sports. That was the beginning of the process of kicking myself in the butt and getting on this project to find out more about him and what he's going through.
Well, and that psychiatrist had one last shock for you, which was what?
Mm. Well, she told us he has signs of depression. He rates himself high on the scale of depression, and we didn't see it. Tyler is so comfortable in his own skin. Well, it turned out he was being bullied in school, and we knew that, but it was hurting him even more than we thought. And he was depressed. And Lori walked out of that meeting, I'll never forget, crying. And said, we've got to do something to help him out. And one of the ideas she had was for me to go on the road with him, spend more time with him, take him to presidential sites, because that's one of his obsessions, and maybe, just maybe, get him in to meet President Clinton and President Bush, because he'd be able to see, you know, history live. And he'd be in a position of having to use the social skills that we knew at that moment we were going to have to start teaching him.
You call those trips guilt trips, you know, guilt for adding to your son's depression by not understanding him and not being around, but your job does pay off. You do get in to see those former presidents. We're going to have more with journalist Ron Fournier in 1 minute, here and now. We're talking with former White House correspondent Ron Fournier, who's written a powerful piece about coming to terms with his son Tyler's Asperger's syndrome. For years, Ron cringed at his son's awkward behavior. Then he saw the character Max Braverman, the autistic boy on the show Parenthood. He got a diagnosis for Tyler. And then Ron and Tyler went on road trips to presidential sites so Tyler could practice his social skills. And Ron, being a former White House reporter, he's able to bring Tyler back to see George W. Bush, who told him to love the boy years earlier. And Ron, you also take him to meet Bill Clinton in Little Rock. Tyler does not want to go in.
Yeah, we were standing in the back of a press conference that the president was having at the library, at his library there in Little Rock, and Tyler looked up at me and said, you do this, Dad. You do the interview. I don't want to do it. And I said, buddy, you know, I'll do whatever you want, but your mom really wants you to do this. The president's invited us. How about we just go up and talk to him? And I promise you, he's going to be one of the nicest men you'll ever meet. And Tyler is, as we've been told by his therapist, he's a very brave, courageous boy that they see a lot of other boys in his circumstance who kind of give up on themselves and their ability to socialize. And Tyler just keeps fighting. Tyler is determined to make friends and determined to learn the social clues that he now realizes it's not his fault he doesn't have, but that he can learn them. And he did there. He sucked it up, and he walked in there, put his shoulders back, and met the former president of the United States and talked to him. And it was one of the most courageous things I've ever seen.
Well, and you describe moments where you actually saw the training he was taking in practice. I love how he greeted President Clinton.
The president offered him this book that was on the credenza. It was it looked like a picture of two polar bears fighting. And Tyler says, he interrupts the president and I at one point and says, is that two polar bears fighting? And the president says, yeah. And Tyler says, you know, it's hard to find a picture of two polar bears fighting. And the president says, yeah, that's hard. I'm thinking to myself, here I am with the only two people in the world who know or care that it's hard to find pictures of two polar bears fighting. And the president gives it to him. And Tyler says, and he looks him in the eyes, which, by the way, is not a normal thing for Tyler to do. He looks him in the eyes the way he's been taught. And he says, I'm sorry, sir, I cannot accept this. Which sounds like a really formal, you know, adult type thing to say, but it's what he's been taught to say. And of course, the president, being as gracious as he is, said, "No, you take it." And Tyler literally hugged it to his chest like you would a teddy bear.
Yeah. And then he proceeded to say to the former president of the United States, "And how was your day?" And you know,
exactly.
You know, and that would seem like a precocious kid might say that, but for him to show that empathy,
yeah, he's had to learn to show people that he cares about them. And now, when my wife picks him up every day in the car, he comes in and he says, "So how was your day, Mom?" That's a big deal for him, and it chokes us up every time he does it because it's he's learning.
He and the former president also bonded over Theodore Roosevelt, both big fans and knew all these details. And I love that when Tyler left the office after these long conversations, Tyler's view of President Clinton was that he was nice, but what?
He kind of whispered to me, he says, "Nice guy." He talked a lot about himself and his stuff. And I kind of laughed at myself, because that's my boy. It sounds like an Aspie. So I said, "Like you, son?" And he said, "Yep." So I think there was a little connection there. Clinton, who is one of the best people person in the history of mankind, showed a little bit of Aspie there. I think it just shows that we're all somewhere on that spectrum, and we need to accept each other.
Well, then you go on and have another visit with George W. Bush. Who told you years earlier, love that boy. What did you learn during that visit?
Well, this was really remarkable. First of all, it was only 8 days after, coincidentally, that we met with President Clinton. And one of the things that Tyler wanted to make sure he did was to tell President Bush that President Clinton gave his best regards to President Bush. So here my son is being a messenger between two of the leaders of the free world. Bush was incredible in his own way. Where President Clinton was very expansive about Teddy Roosevelt, Bush just boom, 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 asking Tyler question after question after question. What books do you like? Where do you go to school? What are your hobbies? Do you like sports? And by the way, I stopped and paused with the president on sports because I was getting kind of anxious about the conversation. Tyler really wasn't giving long answers. And Bush shot me a look like, "Do you really think this is about you?" I was worried that Tyler was being rude to the president because Aspies can come off as being rude. And the president, he was making it clear to me through his eye contact and by redirecting the conversation back to Tyler that, "Hey, it's all right. Relax. I'm relaxing." And it was remarkable. He finally hit on the topic with Tyler. He asked, "What do you want to be?" My son said, "I want to be a comedian." And the president said, "Do you know how many people I've asked what they're going to do for their livings? Do you know how many have told me that they want to make people laugh?" And Tyler says, "No." And the president says, "One. You're the only one who said that." And then he told a joke. It was a pretty bad joke, a corny joke, the kind that I would tell. And the lesson he was leaving with Tyler there was not to be worried about how others judge you, not to worry about putting yourself out there. And it was a pretty remarkable visit.
Well, as you say, you're beginning to think that people are more perceptive and less judgmental towards Tyler than you, his own father.
Exactly. Bush certainly was. If he can accept Tyler for who he is, why the heck can't I? Maybe I can relax a little bit.
Right. Well, but do you also forgive yourself? I know you heard from a lot of parents, and it's natural. You fear for kids.
That's been the big gift of the story. I've gotten thousands of emails and tweets from people, more response than anything I've ever written. And it's been remarkable. A lot of people are saying that this was their Max Braverman moment. "My God, I see myself or my son in your story. Thank you for writing it."
Well, I'm thinking another thing. You've already said how much you love your son and can't imagine him not having this syndrome. He just wouldn't be Tyler, and how much
exactly.
You love this person that's Tyler. I'm also thinking, too, you're a guy who spent your life in politics and in Washington, and here you have this person close to you who, as you write, he is constitutionally unable to, and we're going to have to bleep here, bull bleep.
Exactly. Here's a guy who just tells it like it is, and is just, clear-eyed and honest and all heart, and he may not express himself the way we're used to, but he is just perfect. He is the perfect boy. Sorry about that.
Yeah. It is emotional for you, isn't it? It's emotional still.
It's been an incredibly emotional few days.
Yeah. Ron Fournier, editorial director of the National Journal Group, who's written about his son Tyler on the autism spectrum and how he and his wife Lori came to understand that. Ron, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay. So, is Ron's story resonating with you? Also, we're planning an upcoming segment on the new diagnostic manual we mentioned. Are you wondering what it means that Asperger's will be dropped for the more inclusive autism spectrum? Let us know. hereandnow.org.